This is DW News live from Berlin. EU members at odds with one of their own. EU leaders meet for a second day of summit talks dominated by divisions between Poland and other member states over the bloc's basic values. Also coming up. U.S. President Joe Biden says Washington would come to Taiwan's defense if the island were attacked. His pledge goes beyond official U.S. commitments and prompts a warning from China. And it's one of the world's most iconic works of art, The Scream by Edvard Munch. It's the centerpiece of a new museum dedicated to Norway's most famous painter. I'm Nicole Fröhlich. Welcome to the program. European Union leaders are meeting for a second day in Brussels in an attempt to contain a series of looming crises. The gathering was originally expected to focus on rising energy prices, but the summit, which is expected to be the last for outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel, is being dominated by a migration controversy along the EU's eastern border with Belarus. All of it overshadowed by a dispute with Poland over the EU's core values.
No words from the French president, but a physical sign of his feelings about the summit in Brussels. The focus of 2 hours of the discussions for EU leaders, a controversial ruling in Poland, which said the national constitution should hold primacy over EU law. The talks are described as serene, but asked what assurances they got from Poland, the Belgian prime minister wasn't upbeat. What we got, to say it quite directly, not a lot. This was a discussion of which I think it was good that it took place. It's important that we show the enormous support towards the European Commission. Guardian of the EU treaties and President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, uncommonly left without speaking to the press. In fact, unusually, no other leaders did. Neither Poland's Prime Minister nor German Chancellor Angela Merkel. But there had been a special photo taken to commemorate what is set to be Merkel's last ever summit, this being number 107. She is no stranger to an uncomfortable lineup after difficult discussions. There were other issues on the agenda, though. With energy prices in Europe and around the world skyrocketing, EU leaders agreed on working together. But the written statement they released didn't mention nuclear power as an option. In a nod to the coal-reliant eastern countries, they did say there's a need to consider energy diversity. The Latvian Prime Minister said this before the summit.
We are seeing the price spikes throughout the world, of course also in Europe. And I think there's a choice to be made. Do we try to tame the markets and influence prices? Or do we look to help households and maybe businesses that are in need? I'm convinced that we need to keep markets open.
While the Poland issue remains unresolved, EU leaders will spend Friday discussing migration and the digitalization of Europe's economies.
DW's Brussels Bureau Chief Alexandra von Naumann is following the second day of this EU summit for us. Alexandra, Poland and the EU have been butting heads for some time now, but they also very much need each other, don't they? Especially when it comes to figuring out how to handle the hundreds of migrants coming in from Belarus. Are they finding common ground at the summit?
Not yet. The dispute with Poland is not resolved yet. And many EU leaders here, including the German Chancellor, think that Poland should not be pushed too hard on that issue because they fear that then the country would block important European projects such like, for example, ambitious climate action. Some other member states are saying we have to be tough. However, it is now actually up to the European Commission to take action. What they can do is to open infringement proceedings. This is a very lengthy process that could potentially in the end lead to Poland losing their voting rights. The European Commission can also say for now Poland is not getting any money from the coronavirus recovery fund, or then can also say that they are withholding the money that was allocated to Poland from the EU budget as long as there are doubts about judiciary independence in Poland.
But Poland isn't completely isolated right now. Its defiant approach is being backed by Hungary and the Czech Republic. Viktor Orban called the pressure on Morawiecki a witch hunt. What does this growing rift between East and West mean for the European Union as a whole?
It is a huge problem for the European Union. As you said, it's not only Poland, it's Hungary, the Czech Republic, also Slovenia. So the number of those countries seems to be growing. And some here are already talking about the erosion of European values from within the bloc, for a threat within the bloc. So this is a huge problem for the European Union. And it didn't start yesterday. It's been going on for a while. And so far, the European Union has not found a solution to that.
In the last 16 years, Angela Merkel was often a central figure when it came to finding ways out of crisis situations. Can she still make a difference at what will most likely be her last EU summit?
Well, I think that she already did make a difference here ahead of the summit. She was calling on EU leaders to be cautious with regard to Poland, to try to keep up the dialogue. Of course, she was not able to find a solution to the dispute with Poland, but my impression was that some EU leaders who were very upset with what Poland is doing, they were sort of heeding Merkel's advice. However, even though she has been praised for her role in the European Union, she has also been criticized exactly for that, for trying to find a compromise always for her strategy of small steps. And that is why we can expect the next German chancellor to be dealing with many issues as well, for example, with this dispute with Poland.
DW's Alexandra von Namen in Brussels. Thank you very much. Let's now take a look at some other stories making headlines around the world today. A woman has been killed and one man wounded after U.S. actor Alec Baldwin discharged a prop gun on a film set in New Mexico. The incident happened during filming for the Western Rust. The woman was the rising star cinematographer Helena Hutchins and the man Joel Sosa. He's the director of the film. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has rejected the findings of a Senate investigation into his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. He called the conclusions fantasies that should be ignored. A Senate committee report found that Bolsonaro's response to the COVID-19 pandemic amounted to crimes against humanity. Officials in the Australian state of Victoria say hotel quarantine will be scrapped for international travelers starting in November. Fully vaccinated travelers arriving in the cities of Sydney and Melbourne will no longer need to quarantine. This comes as restrictions were eased in Melbourne after the city was dubbed the world's most locked down. Britain's Queen Elizabeth II is back at Windsor Castle after it emerged she spent Wednesday night in hospital. The 95-year-old monarch was examined by doctors for an undisclosed ailment. She's said to be resting and will take up light duties again today. President Joe Biden says the United States would defend Taiwan against an attack from China. His comments come amid rising tensions between the two regional neighbors and mark a departure from Washington's long-held ambiguous stance. China has launched a record number of incursions into Taiwan's air defense zone in recent weeks. Beijing claims the breakaway territory as its own. TW correspondent William Yang joins us now from Taipei. William, how have the president's remarks been received there in Taiwan?
The Taiwanese government has come out and simply say that this is yet another sign that the U.S. is showing its rock-solid support for Taiwan, but they have also reiterated that the ultimate responsibility of defending the island in an event of a possible military invasion from China will be resting with the Taiwanese people and also the Taiwanese military itself.
Any reaction from China?
The Chinese Foreign Ministry has actually just also issued a statement basically cautioning the U.S. to use choose its words and also actions wisely when it comes to issues related to Taiwan so that they won't send any wrong signals to the so-called secessionist in the Chinese view. And also, they have also said that there is no room for China to compromise its core interest, which is its claim over Taiwan's sovereignty.
Beijing has been stirring tensions with Taiwan recently, entering into the territory's air defense zone over and over again. Why are we seeing this behavior now?
The gray zone tactic has been used many times by China since the beginning of 2020. But in recent weeks, it's because of the National Day celebration by China and also the National Day celebration here in Taiwan. So it's typically a period of time where China will be using a lot more intimidating tactics, like sending fighter jets into near Taiwan, so that it's going to send both a signal to the Chinese people, but also the Taiwanese people and its allies, that China is serious when it comes to possibly using military as a choice to reunite with Taiwan when it's necessary.
Now, were the U.S. to officially change their stance on Taiwan, could this embolden Taiwan to push for formal independence from mainland China?
I think as we look at the domestic political atmosphere right now, any politician will be refraining from declaring a formal independence of Taiwan, because they know even with the support of the U.S., the consequences that might come with such a gesture from Taiwan is very unpredictable, and the cost of this could be very high. And the impact of that, of course, can send shockwaves just not only within the territory or the region, but also beyond Taiwan, that it could lead to very catastrophic events if that's happened one day.
William Yang in Taipei, thank you very much for your analysis. You've probably seen this before. It's one of the world's most iconic artworks, and it's getting a new home in the Norwegian capital, Oslo. Edvard Munch's The Scream is famous for its frightened expression and bold colors, and is now the centerpiece of a new museum dedicated to its creator.
Inspired by an imposing red sunset while walking with his friends, artist Edvard Munch produced this piece, which still captivates people over 100 years later.
The Scream is maybe the most commented work in the history of art, and maybe also the most famous work in the history of art. So I think people are very proud about him.
It's been replicated endlessly through pop culture, and now it's the main attraction at this new museum in Oslo, dedicated to Munch's work. Gallery goers will be able to see multiple versions of The Scream, as well as his other famous works, Madonna and Puberty.
I think this is going to be a place where you'll be able to see a larger selection of the work of Edvard Munch, of course, which is very important as such a seminal Norwegian artist.
Before his death in 1944, Munch was concerned that Nazi forces, then occupying Norway, would destroy his art. In response, he left two-thirds of his collection to the city of Oslo, where it remains today. While the new museum's vast Munch collection will be its main pull, it will also house modern exhibitions and performances.
And finally, Big John, the largest Triceratops skeleton ever unearthed, has been sold at auction in Paris for a whopping 6.6 million euros. An anonymous American collector is now the owner of the dinosaur remains, which are 8 meters long and an estimated 66 million years old. The almost perfectly preserved skeleton was discovered in South Dakota in 2014. Big John is now said to return home to the United States. And before we go, here's a quick reminder of the top story we're following for you today. EU leaders are meeting for a second day of summit talks, between being overshadowed by a dispute between Poland and other members over the bloc's basic values. The growing number of migrants arriving on the EU's border with Belarus is also on the agenda. You're watching DW News. Stay tuned for Manufacturing Ignorance, our documentary on how science is being manipulated to sway public opinion. Don't forget, you can get all the latest news on our website, that's dw.com. And you can, of course, also follow us on social media. I'm Nicole Frilly. Thanks for being with me today.